All right, my name is Humphreys. I'm the lead pastor here at Flood. And today I'm launching a new series entitled Healing Comes. And this sermon series is going to be focusing on mental health. It's going to run for 6 weeks. The view that you have to mental health does determine how you respond to it. And a better response to mental health needs tends to create a space of learning, sharing, and healing. And that's what we're hoping we can actually promote, but more so like encourage each other to make sure that we're having a better response to mental health needs. Because when we do, that will influence how we respond to it. And if you have a negative response, you're going to respond negatively. If you have a positive response, you're going to respond positively. So we're going to be encouraging each other. So now I need to kind of like just put it out there. I'm not a trained psychiatrist, but we have people like Ben, who is a professional counselor, and other people that we have in the community, but also in the city. So if you are struggling, with this, know that there's help, for you. But also, we just want to encourage each other that can we be there for each other? Because when we do that, we will create a space of learning, sharing, and healing. And today, we're going to be talking about the theme, healing comes when we recognize God's presence in the chaos. Healing comes when we recognize God's presence in the chaos. And I'll be reading from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 to 33. Lamentations 3, 1 to 33. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together. I am the man who has seen afflictions by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with a block of stones. He has made my path crooked. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughing stock of all my people. They mocked me in songs all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may be help. There might be yet hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. God, we thank you. For you are a God who is fully present, a God who is there, even in our pain. And I pray, God, that we'll be reminded of this truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. One of the things that we're going to be doing in this sermon series are stories from people that are going through hard times or they have struggled with a mental health issue and they're willing to share with us. So this morning, we're going to be hearing from Louisa, who shares her story with us. So take a look.
My name is Luisa Kabwida. So basically, my experience with mental health dates back 2015 is when I got my first diagnosis, because I had been in school and I just stopped functioning. I wasn't going to class. I wasn't really doing much of anything. So it's not even like I was, there's nothing I was busy doing. I would sit, a day would just pass, and I was just, and I didn't go to class. So my school had a counseling center. So I went there and I was diagnosed with depression. So they explained the reasons. It was basically that before I went to college, I had had a very busy and a bit of high pressure life. So it was like when down things were fine, that's when I started feeling it with my body. But otherwise, before that, I had just been on the go, 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 high intense work and lifestyle. Since then, I was given, because at the time I had insomnia. So they gave me meds to help me sleep, because what would happen is I would stay awake with maybe until even 6 a.m., 7, like super wired awake, not because of coffee or anything, but I couldn't sleep. I would try different things like sounds of the ocean and online, things like that to get me to sleep, but it wasn't working. So they gave me those meds. I was only on them for a short time, but at least it regularized my sleep cycle, and then that sort of helped me regulate. And then I came, I was in Malawi at the time. Then I came back to Malawi, and I again went to St. John of God. I think it was in 2018 or 19, I forget. But there I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety. When I had my daughter, I started coming to flat more frequently, because I had come before, but I was just in and out. But that time I had come, I was sure that I wanted to just make it my home church. So I remember when I had my meeting with Pastor Humphreys on me getting baptized, he asked me if I had postpartum depression. And I said no, because I was like, no, everything that's going on is normal. And he was like, okay. He didn't push it any further than that. But then I did tell him that I'm very mental health aware. Like, I try to check myself, so I don't think that anything that's happening is anything like sort of new. So he just said, no, just keep watching, and if you feel anything, let us know. Otherwise, it's okay. So fast forward a few weeks later, it didn't take long. I sort of had an incident where I couldn't even carry my daughter. Like, I felt, I don't know, overstimulated. Like, even touch was triggering me. I had to leave the house. So I called Pastor Humphreys in the afternoon. It was a Saturday. I just told him I'm not feeling okay. So he sent me a number to a therapist. And one of my things was that even when I had noticed something was off, I felt like, because at the time I had like major triggers to mental health issues, that I had basically become a single mother, and I wasn't working. I lost my job when I was 2 months pregnant. So, and then I had the baby. I called Pastor Humphreys. That was a Saturday. So I left the baby with my nanny and my mom, and I left the house. And I went to meet my friend and just cried, processed, but then I still attended the therapy session on the next, Tuesday. The therapy was then helpful. I had, 6 sessions that were spread out, that were paid for by the church, and I'm really, really, really grateful, because at the time I really found it difficult to say my mom is doing all these things for me and my daughter, and then I should now be like, no, but I still feel bad. It's like, really? I found it difficult. I felt like a burden in a way, but really the flood family was very supportive to me. And it really, really helped, because I think even me to be able to go back to work now, I'm able to do that because of that therapy that I had that time, because I was not able to breastfeed because of pre-existing health issues. I have PCOS, so it's like it affects my hormones. So for that reason, I had guilt about not being able to breastfeed. And really, the therapist, she really just assured me, like, it doesn't matter. Your child is able to eat, it's fine. And even if you were breastfeeding, there are other issues that could come because the baby now reacts to everything that your body is going through. So actually, this might be a better option for you. So it really just was very helpful, and I'm grateful to the Flood family. One other thing that I should add that was such a big deal that maybe people in Flood don't know is on Sundays when we come, because Sunday is the day that I'm without a nanny or any other support. I take care of the kid by myself. Those are times when I would get like extreme anxiety, and it was the days would be difficult. But I would come to the service, and you'd find that someone is just like, oh, here's this, let me take the baby and everything. But that at least would give me like time to just wusa and take a breather. Even afterwards, I was doing classes. So it would be like the day has gone and we're fine with the baby. Nothing crazy has happened. Like, I didn't get overwhelmed or anything like that. So for me, church really was and is a very big part of my mental health, like me maintaining. Because on the postpartum, yes, it has an end date in a way, I think. But the fact that I have the pre-existing depression and anxiety, I don't think that's ever really fully going away. We believe God will save us and heal. I believe in that, but I also practically want to not stop taking action and using the tools that I've been given to keep it at bay and be in a happy place. Having a church that is not mental health blind, like, yes, we're here, yes, we pray, God can do a lot, but God created physicians, you know. So being in a place where it's not a place of judgment when as pertains to mental health, especially on the other side of the church where it's like about weak people healing together, you know, that mindset for me, I feel like God guiding me to come to Flood is a big deal as pertains to my mental health. And the fact that even in my morning routine, the things that I'm saying are positive, that I'm doing, are all God related. So it's like, even in the Bible, there are verses and like whole chapters that talk about people who are in sorrow and, you know, all that. So it's not being in a church that people don't just pray it away or don't just get over it. Really taking it as an ailment like any other thing, I feel like that for me, that's thank God for that. The morning routine, the gratitude list every morning or even in any moment of anxiety, having the right people around you. And I've made a lot of friends in church who are people who are just open and supportive. I can say just a few weeks back, my daughter was really acting up during the service, which is normal. But I guess Dr. Megor and like saw that I was a bit, overwhelmed a bit. And she came to me after the service like, oh, how are you doing? How's it been now that you're going back to work and balancing everything? So it's just those little things that I feel that one should be intentional about being open to people being there for you. My name is Louisa.
Sharing that story with us. Sorry, the video is a bit draggy, but the voice was very, very clear. Depression is defined as a serious medical illness that negatively affects, how you feel, the way you think, or even how you act. And, you know, it may look different from people to people, but for you to be diagnosed as one who is depressed, you need certain symptoms to appear for at least a period of 2 weeks. And here are some of the symptoms. When you're feeling sad or having a depressed mood, loss of interest or pleasure in activities that you once enjoyed, or change in appetite. It could be weight loss or gain, but unrelated to dieting or to anything that you're doing. Trouble sleeping or maybe sleeping too much. That's one of the symptoms. loss of energy or just increased fatigue, increased purposelessness, and this can even show in your physical activity. Sometimes you stand and you're just like pacing around up and down, and there's no really reason why you're doing that. Difficulty in thinking or concentrating or making decisions. You're just feeling guilt or just feeling worthless. Thoughts of death or suicide. And these things have to go on for at least 2 weeks. Then you are, depressed. If it's just a day, you're probably just having a bad day. But these symptoms have to show up for 14 days. Now, I have to say that there is a lot of discrimination around, mental health, depression, and every single mental health. There's a lot of discrimination. I remember I was having a chat with a guy, and he said, mental health, depression is a first world problem. It's not our problem. Until when you read into the news to see how many people are committing suicide and going through a lot of hardship. And the church hasn't made it easy as well. Like we say, hey, you don't have enough faith. You can pray. You need to pray more. You need to trust God more. Come on. Just snap out of this. And that does make it hard for people to respond. Now, before we continue, I just wanted us to take a time that we could just pray for each other. So I'm just going to mention certain things. If these things appeal to you, we would want to pray for you. I want to pray for people that maybe have lost a loved one, and recently you're just finding it hard and you're going through a rough season because of that loss. I want to pray for people that have lost opportunities in life. It could be school opportunity, job opportunity, business opportunity, and you're beginning to lose hope, or you're wondering, am I still a part of God's plan? Or maybe you have lost trust in people because somebody took advantage of your trust. I want to pray for people that maybe just got bad news recently. It could be around health, work, or business, or about a friend, or whatever it is, marriage. You just got bad news. Or maybe you're just experiencing deep sadness. Even now as we speak, you're experiencing it. I want to pray for people that are just in pain or in suffering, and maybe you're feeling this spiritually or physically or mentally. We want to just pray for you. So if any of these things appeal to you, you don't need to share what it is, but we want to pray for you. Do you want to just stand so we can pray for you if any of these things, if you're going through any of these things? And we just want to pray together as a community and just come alongside you as we pray this morning. So go ahead and stand so we can pray for each other. And if you are sitting close to somebody that's standing, do you want to just go to them? And with their permission, just like touch them by the shoulder as we'll pray for people. So yes, if there's somebody else just standing close, but just go to them. Just be around them. Let's have everybody covered. I think I see a few people out there that we need. If you see somebody even away from your aisle, go to them. A few people that need somebody to just be with them there, just pray with them. Yeah, just go ahead and pray for people, just pray for them, for whatever is happening with them. Yeah, God, we just pray for your people. We pray, God, bringing these cries to you, these yearnings, these hopes, wishes, and desires to you, God, but also struggles. And God, I pray that your praises would be with your people, and you know what they're struggling with. You know what they're going through. You know what's happening with them. God, I pray, may you meet them right there in their pain, in their suffering. May you meet them right there. And I pray, God, that they will be reminded of a God who is good. I pray, God, that you will bring hope and relief, that you will bring rescue to your people. I pray, Father, for your presence to be on full display in their situation, that, God, you would show up. So show up, Jesus, to the glory of your name. Rescue, Jesus, to the glory of your name. We thank you, God, for you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat, and thank you guys for praying. And talking about prayer, we have a few prayer counselors here. If you are a prayer counselor, and we just did a training recently with these guys, do you want to just stand where you're at? Just stand. So these guys are ready to pray for people anytime. So if you feel like going to one of these, either at the end of the gathering, either you just want to chat or you want to pray, these guys are ready to pray for you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, go ahead and have a seat. In the passage that we have read this morning, we encounter a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah actually was called when he was very, very young. And when God was calling him, he said, "No, I am too young for this. I don't want to go." But God says, "You know what? I knew you before you were born. I actually have a mission for you. Go on it." So he says yes, and he goes on mission for God. Now, he is a fantastic, one of the amazing prophets in the scriptures who would speak truth to power with no fear. But at the same time, he went through a lot of hardship. He went through a lot of persecution. And we see Jeremiah having moments of pain and suffering and being a depressed prophet, because he would go through a lot of depression in his own life, to the point that he writes these laments to God, these cries to God, and they form a book called Lamentations. So there's a lot that he was going through. And in Lamentations, Jeremiah is having an honest conversation with God, where he just comes to God and say, "This is what's going on with me. Look, God, and this is how I feel." And I just wanted to point out a few things that we see that Jeremiah says to God and how he feels about his situation and what he is going through. Now, having read the entire passage, we actually come to see that the things that Jeremiah is talking about, even though he says that God has done, eventually he comes to be like, no, God does not actually bring grief. So even though he knows deep down that it might not be God doing these things, but it feels like. So he says, "It just feels like God's anger is all up just against me, because all I can see right now is darkness. It just feels like God is just actually against me here." And in his own words, he says, "He has made me walk in darkness." He says, it feels like God is enjoying seeing me broken, because everywhere I look, there's just bad news. In his own words, he says, "He has turned his hand against me again and again all day long." There's nothing good. Again and again, he's turned his hand against me. He says, "With what I'm going through right now, actually, it's so hard for me to pray. It's just so hard for me to pray." In his own words, he says, "My prayers are shut." Like, God intentionally does shut down my prayers. And I'm finding it so hard to pray. He says, "Every time there is something bad, it just seems that it's about me. It's just about me." In his own words, he says, "He has made my paths crooked." You know, he's made my paths crooked. He says, "I'm filled with bitterness because there's no good news about me anywhere. People are talking about me." And he says, "I am a laughing stock." This is an ancient way of saying, "I have become a meme. I've become a meme. You know, everybody is just talking about me." He says, "I feel broken. I have no peace at all. I can't even remember the last time I felt peace in my heart." He says, "I've been depraved of peace. I've been depraved of peace." He says, "I'm not just having a bad day, but it just seems like every single day is a bad day for me. It's not looking good because I am downcast. My soul is downcast within me." What a horrible season that Jeremiah is going through. And maybe some of you can relate with Jeremiah, where your prayers are no longer enjoyable anymore. You know, I remember a period, I think it was a 2-year period in my life, where I just went through this deep depression. And to pray was so hard for me, to pray my own prayers. So I would go into, you know, Psalms, because David is quite honest with his own feelings. I'd go into Psalm and just read the horrible parts of a psalm, you know, because David would say, like, why have you forsaken me? Why have you done these things? And then at the end he says, but I will trust, whatever. I was like, no, I don't want to go there because this does not speak to me. I'm just going to read and pray around the parts, you know, that appeals to me. And there was one psalm, Psalm 88, which appealed to me the most. Just listen to some of it. But I cry to you for help, O Lord, in the morning. My prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and I'm in deep despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. And this is how he finishes that psalm. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me, and darkness is my closest friend. That's how it ends. Like, there's no positivity in there. Like, darkness is my closest friend. So I used to go to that because it just felt like my own prayers were just hitting a wall. And could not really speak to me. And some of you can relate to Jeremiah because you feel like you're going, the pain you're going through right now is just like on and on and on. And you seem to be having bad news around you. You cannot even remember the last time you had exciting news. You feel broken. You are in pain. You are suffering. You relate with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah relates with you. Because Jeremiah was going through these rough things in his own life. But in the midst of pain, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of suffering, Jeremiah says this in verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. In the midst of all of these things that are happening, in the chaos, in the pain, in the suffering, there is one thing that I remind myself of, or things about God that I remind myself of, so that my hope could still be alive. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have a hope. And for you to experience hope, for you to experience peace in God, there are things that you need to remind yourself, things about God that you need to remind yourself, so that you can continue to be hopeful, so that you can continue to experience peace. Because our experience of peace or hope has to be built in something that's deeper, something that's unshakable, and that's God. That's God's character. So Jeremiah reminds himself of the truth, because when you're going through a season of pain and suffering, it's so hard to really see what's true. And Jeremiah reminds himself of what's true about God. And I just want to mention five truths that we see that Jeremiah reminds himself about God. Number one, Jeremiah himself reminds himself that God's love keeps his people even in danger. God's love keeps his people even in danger. Verse 22, he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Yes, it's true. Through what I'm going through, I remember the bitterness. I remember the hardship. But I also know that because of God's great love, I am not destroyed. I am not destroyed. And sometimes you go through situations that you feel like, will I survive this? Will I actually get out of this? Will things turn out for the better? But no matter how you're feeling, God's love is so great that it's going to keep you. Even in that, in the pain, in the suffering, will keep you, and you're never going to be destroyed. You're never going to be in harm. And God's love will keep you even in danger. He's going to sustain you. And Jeremiah had to remind himself of that. Because of great love, I am not consumed. More likely, he looked at his own story. How am I even here? How did I even make it here? I know things are not good right now, but how did I even make it here? Because of great love from God, because of God's great love, I'm not consumed. Number two, Jeremiah had to remind himself that God's mercy never stops, even when everything else stops. God's mercy never stops, even when everything else stops. Verse 22, the last part says, for his compassion never fail. And 23 says, they are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. Your compassions never fail. Your mercies never fail. They keep on going. And every morning I do experience them. Great is your faithfulness. If there is one thing that you're going to experience on a daily basis from God, it's actually God's mercy. It's going to come through over and over again. God's mercy shows up every morning. It never stops. It never stops. Even when things around you can seem like they are stopping, God's mercy shows up. It's going to show up every morning and it's going to be brand new. It's going to feel different. It's going to look different, but His mercy will show up. It's more of like God's mercy is something that changes but remains the same. You know, it changes because you experience it differently every single day, remains the same because it shows up every single day. Like God comes through and shows His mercy over and over and over again. And He never stops providing His love on a daily basis. And I think our temptation is that it's not that we are not experiencing God's mercy, it's that we stop noticing God's mercy on a daily basis. But God's mercy shows up. Sometimes God's mercy will show up through a beautiful sunrise. Sometimes God's mercy will show up through a smile, that morning smile of your kids. Parents would understand that. Like that beautiful smile, like they cried all night, and in the morning they just like it just melts your heart. You're like, oh yeah, I've been up 6 hours, but this is just absolutely amazing. God's mercy will show up through a friend saying, can I pray for you? God's mercy, I'll be praying for you. God's mercy shows up through someone else saying, hey, I want to just buy you lunch. Can I get you out for lunch? God's mercy does show up, you know, when somebody else says to you, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm with you. I want to stand with you. God's mercy never stops. We just stop noticing it. But God's mercy never stops. It comes through. And we know God's mercy never stops because great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. And I think a few weeks ago we spoke about faithfulness being represented in this truth that God is so committed to you and that's beyond your ability to stick with Him. That God sticks with you even when you are unable to stick with Him. This is what Paul says. Even when we are faithless, He is faithful. He is faithful. God will stick with you through and through. And Jeremiah had to remind himself of this. And you need to remind yourself of this. That God's mercy will show up for you every single day. Number three, Jeremiah had to remind himself that God is fully present with us, even in the pain. God is fully present with us, even in the pain. Verse 24, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Jeremiah had to remember that when things fall apart, that when everything else is gone, I have one thing that's guaranteed to me, the one thing that will never go away from me, and that's God. So he says, God is my portion. He remembers that God is fully present with us. The presence of hardship does not mean the absence of God, and the presence of God does not mean the absence of hardship. God is always present, whether hardship is there or not. God is present, fully present with us. So Jeremiah says, the Lord is my portion. Now, when you think of portion, you know, don't think of like a pizza and then there's like a slice and you're like, God is my portion at this slice. No. He is the whole pizza. This is what he means. He says, God is all I have. When everything else is gone, God is all I have. God is all you have. God is so committed that He has made Himself fully available to us. God is so committed to you that He has made Himself fully available to you. So God is all you've got. But here's something better. God has all of you. Like God has you. God has you and He has you fully. And Jeremiah had to remind himself of that. Number four, Jeremiah had to remind himself that it's better to look forward to the best God had for him than focus on what's not working. It's better for you to look forward to the best that God has for you then just focus on what's not working in your life. The second part of verse 24, he says, therefore I will wait for him. Therefore I will wait for God. Because God is my portion, therefore I'm going to wait on God. And waiting on God just means I'm looking forward to the best that God is holding for me. Because God has something great, amazing for me, and I'm looking forward to that. So therefore I will wait on God. I will wait on God. Now, when it comes to waiting, it's not often that we have a choice that we're going to wait or not. Because when God decides to withhold something from you, he's never going to give you at that time. So now you can throw tantrums and feeling like, because I'm throwing tantrums, therefore things will change. No, they will never change. Because until God decides that they should change. We have a choice to wait. But I think the biggest choice is not in whether we're going to wait or not. Our choice, our best choice is in how we wait. Is in how we wait. How are you going to wait on God? Like, you're going to wait anyway, but it matters how you're going to wait on God. And that's what drives your hope. How you wait on God. And when you choose to wait on God, you're going to face probably two temptations. The first temptation is getting things your own way, which is impatience. The second temptation is giving up, which is losing hope. That you might find yourself losing hope. You might be tempted to lose hope. I want to take my own life because I've lost hope. You might find yourself turning into despair because you have lost hope. You might find yourself feeling like your life is done because you have lost hope. You might find yourself as if your life has no meaning or purpose because you have lost hope. You might find yourself thinking, I don't know if I'm still in God's plan, because you have lost hope. But Jeremiah says, I have a choice. I will wait on him. I will wait on God. So therefore, we have to choose to wait on God. Patiently waiting on God. Waiting is good. Waiting is good. Waiting is good. Why? Because in waiting, God works what's good for us. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. And that happens in waiting. In waiting, when we wait, God grows something good in us. Because as we wait, God begins to build a character in you, a character that glorifies his name. In waiting, we give the best to God because we then begin to offer that waiting as an offering to God, as a form of worship to God. In waiting, we remember that God stands with us, that we are not alone, because you're never, ever alone. He is so committed to you, and he has given himself fully to you. Therefore, you can wait on God. And lastly, Jeremiah had to remind himself that through his goodness, God shows up and attends to his people. Through his goodness, God shows up and attends to his people. Verse 25 and 26 says this, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 31 says, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. The struggle that you have with your mental health, or any struggle that you have in your life right now, it might feel like the situation that you're in is here to stay forever. It might feel like you are left alone forever. But Jeremiah says, for no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Eventually, God attends to his people and he brings rescue. Eventually, God remembers his people and he brings rescue. And therefore, you can be in hope wherever you are right now. You are never alone. That God is with you. God is with you. And healing will come. Now, healing might look different for every single one of us. For some of you, healing would be like God completely removing your struggle, like taking it off completely. And for some people, it's happened, even some people in this church. For some people, healing is God giving you the grace that you can begin to manage the situation that you're in. and, you know, to endure the hardship that comes with it. You know, sometimes maybe healing is God giving you the grace for you to begin to share your struggle with other people, and that being a ministry to other people. Whatever God decides to do for you, but you need to know that God will not cast you off forever. He's going to remember you. He's going to remember you. Now, quickly, how can we respond to this message? Your heart is God's, so continue offering it to God. My first invitation is continue going to God, even in your pain, even in your suffering. Continue going to God, because there you'll be affirmed of your identity. There you'll be affirmed of who you really are in God. So continue going to God. Continue to entrust your heart to God. Number two, be honest with where you are. What struggle are you going through right now? What's happening in your life right now? So be honest with where you are, because in this passage, Jeremiah is just being honest with God, just being honest with where he's at, how it feels like to be in this situation, and he's just opening up. If you're struggling with any mental health issue, just know that we're here and we love you and we want to stand with you and we want to walk with you. So feel free to come and have a conversation. If it's not with me, at least with somebody else from the community. Number three, remember that God is with you even in the chaos. That God has offered his presence to you and he stands with you. And lastly, let the community surround you. For you to invite us in into your story, for me to invite you in into my story, I need to be willing to bring it out. I need to be willing to bring it out. And I hope you can let the community surround you. So you are not alone, that God is not leaving you alone, but also this community is committed to standing and to walking with you. It's unhealthy to dismiss your pain. Your pain is valid. It's unhealthy to move too quickly from your pain without really looking into what's going on. It's also unhealthy to stay too long in your pain without addressing it. But it's healthy to acknowledge your pain. It's healthy to honestly vent your pain. And it's healthy to trust God's presence in your pain. Let's pray together. God, we come to you, for you are a good God, a God who is fully present with us, even in our suffering, a God who is fully present with us, no matter where we are at. You have made a choice, a commitment, to stick with us, to move with us, to be with us. God, I pray that we'll be reminded of your presence through and through. In the name of Jesus, amen.